want you to imagine that you've just entered a bakery. What's going on as you do that? I'm hoping the picture will come up. There you go. What's coming up in you at the moment? Your sense of smell is tantalized. You're starting to get a little rumble in your tummy. Bit of saliva in your throat. Oh, gosh, we should go for a meal now. The smell of fresh aroma baked bread. And your whole system starts to kick in and respond. What is our reaction at that point? I want some. Or as some little child once said, I want some now. Or I need some. I want some or I need some. Our reaction tells us a lot about what drives us in life, not just with bread, but with almost anything. And this fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer, it looks so simple. Give us this day our daily bread. But it's full of depth about how we live, how we choose, and how we respond to God. The very first part of the prayer, the first three that has already been looked at, they focus on extolling God's name. Then they go on to extolling God's kingdom. And then they go on to extolling God's will. All of them underlining the truth that life is meant to be lived for one purpose, to glorify God for all that he is worth. And then suddenly the emphasis seems to break with that. And we appear to be concerned with ourselves. Give us this day our daily bread. Having worshipped, Jesus now encourages us to ask for something. But I just want to point out that this is crucially not a break from the first three, because this request is a request of strength, provision, to do the kind of God-focused living previously described. Jesus wants you to be fed in order that you have the strength to do his will. He wants you to be receiving his provisions so that you know that you have the gifts to do his will. And it would be very easy to over-spiritualize this little vignette prayer, give us this day our daily bread. So I want to start off like this. I want to see how it addresses our basic need. That, after all, is the title that Paul gave me, give us the bread we need. And then I gave it a little subtitle, as I want to do, the daily gift. How do you pray, give us this day our daily bread, in a country when you can walk down to your local Tesco, Sainsbury's or Asda, and there are other brands, just in case you think I'm advertising anybody, and be faced with 50 different types of bread? I've got a friend, she came back from Cameroon on her first furlough, and having been out there for 3 years, she was absolutely devastated. She walked into the supermarket, she saw the bread shelves, and she walked out again. Because where she'd been living, if she could get a loaf of bread, she was lucky. How do you pray, give us this day our daily bread, when you can go and buy enough bread for a month and put it in your freezer, and then defrost it as you need it? It is exactly this that the prayer that Jesus has given us is relevant in the 21st century. Jesus invites us in this prayer to recognize and declare our dependence on God for everything, starting with our basic needs. To own that everything we have comes from God. Our basic need may be the staple of bread, but the real need is our reliance on God as creator. This is not a popular thing in our time. We live in a world where people are encouraged to get and to do things for themselves, to make something of themselves. People are respected when they do that, have a decent house, plenty of money, and people turn and say to them, haven't they done well for themselves? Which of us would stop them at that point and say, no, I haven't. This is all a gift from God. and I have had very little to do with it. Have you ever found yourself wanting to say that to anybody who says you've done well for yourself? Our language betrays us. But some of us still, if you come from London, I don't know if it's like this in the north, but some of us still use the word bread for money. Or the main earner in the home, the breadwinner. God rarely gets a look in. And so when Jesus says, pray like this, give us this day our daily bread, it is a challenge to live in the spirit of prayer and dependence on God alone. God created us as physical creatures who depend upon the physical things of the world around us. There's nothing that's inferior about that or to be despised about that. And there's not a contradiction between the physical and the spiritual. But the prayer is simply that you can ask for God's assistance in anything. It is the antidote for worry. Instead of worry, Jesus says, ask God for help. I mean, that's really part of your sermon this morning, wasn't it? Ask me for anything in my name. Worry is an attempt to control the uncontrollable, and this prayer cuts across that. When you feel like you're helpless, then you start worrying. And years ago in America, we heard this phrase, and we've had it as a very favorite phrase for a long time. Worry is taking responsibility for the things God never intended you to have. So I'll say that again so you get it. Worry is taking responsibility for things God never intended you to have responsibility for. So Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Depend totally on me and my Father. So then you have to ask the question, don't you? How much is out of God's control? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But it's not how we think most of the time. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are relying on God as our source. So when we see a tin in the supermarket, trace it back. Not to the cannery, not even to the field and the farmer, but to the one who sent the rain, made the seed grow, brought the crop to be. And it changes your whole idea. Now, I've put this up because I want you to grasp this. When we don't know what to do, this prayer says, God is our wisdom. When we run out of energy, God is our source of strength. When we feel like everything is caving in and depressing us, God is the source of our happiness. He is our source of hope when things look desperate. When we are stressed out, God is our source of peace. When we're irritated about to blow up, God is our source of patience. When we're overwhelmed with guilt, God is our source of salvation. And when we feel like giving up, God is our source of encouragement. And I hope you caught David's sermon this morning. If you haven't, listened to it online. Explanation, encouragement. This is what God's saying in this prayer. Look to me. I'm waiting for you to give assistance. When we were living in Dallas, I had the privilege of visiting the Dallas Theological Seminary, which is one of the finest evangelical seminaries in the US. It's where Chuck Swindoll, if you've heard of him, was a student and later became its president. But I learned at one time the seminary was almost bankrupt. The creditors were ready to foreclose at noon. And that morning, the founder of the school met with the other leaders to pray. And one of the attendees was another person you might have heard of, really ancient this one, but Harry Ironside. And when it was his turn to pray, he said in his candid way, Lord, the Bible says you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Please sell some of them and send us the money. A few minutes later, a cattle rancher walked into the business office, strolled up to the secretary and said, howdy, I just sold 2 cartloads of cattle over in Fort Worth and I feel God wants me to give the money to the seminary. I don't know if you need it or not, but here's the check. And he handed it over and walked out. The secretary knew that it was the critical hour, and so she rushed into the office and gave the check to the president of the seminary. And when he looked at the amount, it was the exact amount of money they needed to pay off the debt. And then he recognized the name of the cattleman on the check. But this is what he turned to Dr. Ironside and said, "Harry, God sold the cattle. Praise the Lord." I hope you get the point of the illustration. He could have said, "Mr. Jones sold the cattle, and here's the check," but he didn't. God sold the cattle. He is able to give us our daily bread. He is able to do more, immeasurably more, than all we can ask or imagine. So God will meet our basic need. We've had an experience of that two or three times in our life. I well remember when our car was completely US, and one of our church members had just got married to a missionary who had come back from overseas, and they had a car each. And he turned up on the doorstep and said, "Would you like this car?" How generous is that? But God took care of basic needs. Our communal need is the next point I want to make. This fourth part of the prayer calls us to involvement with others. The Lord's Prayer can never be prayed selfishly. We do not pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Give me," or "I want this," or "meet my." We always pray, "Our Father, give us, bring us, forgive us. Give us this day our daily bread." There's an old poem that makes this point even better than I can make it. "You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say I. You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say my. Nor can you pray the Lord's Prayer and not pray for one another. And when you ask for daily bread, you must include your brother. For others are included in each and every plea. From the beginning to the end of it, it does not once say me." So we cannot make this request, "Give us this day our daily bread," and forget others. It could, of course, refer to the family of God. And there are plenty of the Bible verses that encourage us to do that. The early church, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, did not just break bread together, they sought to share what they had with all who had need. Later on in Paul and the Acts, we find Tabitha, who was also called Dorcas. She was always doing good, is the report, and helping the poor. Paul himself was supportive of the poor. He took gifts back from the Asian churches to Jerusalem, even though he knew it would lead to his arrest. It cost him something to help the poor in Jerusalem, not just take the money. And when writing to the Corinthians in chapter 9, Paul reminded them of their promise in this respect. "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace of God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." But let's remember that that passage was in a context of God's promise. "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." That is the challenge behind this little phrase. It is also the challenge behind when James is talking to the church. He says that if you treat the poor badly while feting the rich, and I rather like this little picture because you've got a smart, suited gentleman with a good shoe, and you've got the poor man with a shoe. there's only one step between the two, either way. We cannot limit us just to the family of God, but to all the poor and needy. Remember that when Paul was encouraging the Corinthians to give, he did so with these words, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Jesus did that not just for the rich, not just for the poor, he did it for the world, for God so loved the world that he gave. So that communal prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," if we limit it just to the God's people, we are shortchanging what Christ said. The communal prayer extends beyond to the unsaved. There are so many people in our world today that would be glad to even receive a slice of bread, never mind a loaf. Famine in Africa, disaster zones, homeless on our doorstep. And I always find that difficult. I don't know if you find that difficult, because I know from experience that if I give money, so often it will go into the wrong thing. So I always, when I was in, certainly in Chelmsford and in Grantham, if somebody came, they either came home for a meal when they asked for it, or I took them to the local cafe and I bought them a meal. We did have one gentleman once, and my son sat and had breakfast with him. And later on in the day, when I'd taken the guy and put him on the train to London, because that's where he said he wanted to go, he was going on to see another minister he knew very well, came back home, and Maureen said to me, he said, "Gareth's decided what he wants to be when he grows up, because he was so impressed with that man and his faith and everything at the meal table." And I said, "Well, what was it?" And he said, "Well, he wants to be a tramp." I said, "Why is that?" "Because he had a brand new pair of boots that the previous minister had given him in Scotland, and he'd walked all his way from Scotland on them." It's a simple story, but what I'm trying to show is we were just a link in generosity. And the one thing we did say to that gentleman was, "I've spoken to the minister in London." Well, I've spoken to his secretary. He's away at the moment. "They will receive you, but the message is you have to decide this time that you're going to go and not keep walking the streets. You've got to come inside. That's and they'll receive you on that basis." So sometimes you have to be tough too when you're giving somebody bread. To pray this prayer, we must be willing to be part of God's answer. It is a stark truth that our world has more than enough food to feed everybody in it. But because of the Western world, or the northern world, if you like, who takes 2/3 of available food, there are many who don't have enough to eat. So that's the population. 1/3 of the world's food is wasted. 1.3 billion tons every year. We never leave our plate with food on it. Maureen's brilliant at not wasting what's left, making something of it. There is enough food in the world to feed 3 billion people, or 10 times the population of the States. In what ways could you and I make a difference in lifestyle that would free up food or the means to purchase such for the poor? It's an individual question. We can't answer it for somebody else, but we have to answer it in the context of us. So I would say at least consider fair trade. I have no idea what coffee and tea the church use. Fair trade, hallelujah. There you are, David, you got one. But much as I love ancient buildings and to visit them for the historical scene, it shocked me to remember that there's the poor starving of the world where millions of euros are flooding in to rebuild Notre Dame. And when we look at the Swedish girl, Greta Thunberg, and the influence she's gained at the age of 15 with her climate change campaign, everyone is applauding her. Politicians are wanting to meet her. And then I wondered, once she's moved on, will anything actually be done or change. We cannot point the finger if we pray, "Give us," and remain unchanged by our talk with God. Here is an Old Testament beatitude, and it's not one that got mentioned in our blessing series on Sunday evenings, but it fits this. "He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor." Proverbs 22, verse 9. Finally, our basic need, our communal need, our daily need. So far, we've seen this prayer is about accepting our dependence upon God and acknowledging that the supply is not just for us alone. But now we come to understanding that it's about moderation and trust. It is our daily bread that we are to ask for. What does that mean for us? Daily is such a common word in our vocabulary. I think even something that you held up, Stuart, might have had daily prayer on it. But the interesting thing is that when Matthew wrote the Lord's Prayer in his Gospel, the word that was used for daily was far from common. In all Greek literature, the word that is translated as daily appears nowhere else except in the Lord's Prayer. Oh no, there is one other occasion. It's a scrap of paper that they found. This scrap of paper, it's a shopping list, a grocery list. And on that piece of paper is the word daily. Epiousios, or epiousios. It's two words, epi and ousios. And with the other word for today, semaron, Matthew puts these two things together. If you go into some of the other versions of the Bible, in Syriac, for example, they have continual bread. Another version says bread of our necessity. This word, epiousios, is such an obscure word that no one really knows how to translate it or render it in translation. I don't care. The meaning of Jesus is absolutely clear. We are to pray for only sufficient bread for one day, whether it be today's or tomorrow's. Bread is notorious for getting stale quickly. The issue is not really about bread, it is about attitude. What this petition fosters is a spirit of dependence, of living a day at a time, of keeping short accounts with God. It is about today, a living a day at a time. Because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. I love the way the Message brings out Proverbs 30, verse 8. "Give me enough food to live on, neither too much nor too little. I'm too full. I might get independent, saying, 'God, who needs him?' If I'm poor, I might steal and dishonor the name of God." Quite challenging, that. And in this passage where the Lord's Prayer is situated, Jesus goes on to teach about treasures and the futility of putting all our stock in this world, adding that we are not to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And that was the issue with the church, the Israelis in the desert, wasn't it? Anxiety overwhelmed them. They'd been freed from Egypt, but in the desert they wanted reassurance of life, not death. I always laugh when I read this. They're in the desert, they've been freed by God, and then they said in their complaint, "We sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out to starve." They'd had nothing in Egypt. They just chugged the mud pits all day, making bricks. How short memories we have. And then God provides the manna from heaven. It's glorious provision every day for 40 years. And what we so often miss in this passage, because we know that the Jews asked Jesus for a sign to prove himself based on this story, it was not the people testing God, it was God testing the people by providing the manna every day. Except, of course, when it got to the Sabbath and he said, get 2 days' lot. And they're saying, well, there's no point getting 2 days' worth because it'll go off. Because what they had left at the end of each day did go off. Of course, God arranged it so that it didn't go off on the Sabbath, and they were still fed. And then they thought, well, we'll collect extra. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Wow. Do you think that this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, is Jesus' test of us and our dependence, our sharing, our acknowledging trust in him? After the Korean War ended, South Korea was left with a large number of children who had been orphaned. Relief agencies came in and they were dealing with the problems of the orphaned children. But one of the people involved in this relief noted a particular problem with some of the children that they encountered. They were restless and anxious at night and had difficulty sleeping. And they couldn't work it out. They talked to the children, and then they discovered that the children had anxiety about whether they would have food tomorrow. You know what they did to resolve that problem? Somebody came up with a brilliant idea. It must be a God-given idea, because as they put the children to bed, the nurses would put in their hand a single piece of bread. The bread wasn't intended to be eaten. It was simply intended to be held by the children as they went to sleep. It was a security blanket. And they went to sleep. Likewise, we take comfort in knowing that our physical needs are met by God, that we have food, that we have our needs met by him. If we find that God's hand seems to be invisible to us and we cannot discern his providential intrusion into our lives, that may be partly the way we pray. You see, we have a tendency to pray in general. And the only way we will see the hand of God's providence is in general, if we pray in general. This is why I asked Phil and Hazel to do exactly the same prayers that they prayed this morning, because I hope you caught on that their prayers were very specific. Although they were praying about all sorts of things, every prayer had one at least specific element that they were asking God to do. See, you should pay attention when the prayers are going on. As we enter into this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, this conversation, this communion with God, and we put our petitions before him, pouring out our souls, our needs need to be put specifically, and then we will see specific answers to prayer. Our Father has invited us to go to him and ask him for daily bread. He will not fail to provide it. I haven't planned to say this, but I had a knee injury. I think I might have mentioned this before. But the one reason I want to mention it is because John's reminded me that when I had this knee injury, the church continually prayed specifically for my recovery and that I would walk properly. 18 months they prayed. And at the end of 18 months, I walked properly. So you see, specific prayer, you don't always get the answer within 24 hours. God can, but sometimes he's doing other things, but he blesses us by providing our needs. So ultimately in this passage, Jesus, we get round to him being called the bread of life. It is the reliance and passion for him that will count as the last aspect of this prayer. The reason why bread is a powerful symbol is because it's so realistic at the same time. It represents the very presence of God just as much as the eating of food is essential. But it is a thing you can only do for yourself. I cannot eat for you. You cannot eat for me. So we need that deep hunger, that deep desire to assimilate the food that God provides in whatever way he provides it. And that's generated in worship as a daily seeking for his will. His kingdom and glory on earth as it is in heaven. Recognizing our poverty of spirit, being thirsty for his righteousness, a passion that is unrelenting for all that we need from him to this very day, and he will always meet it without fail. So I wanted to close with a little story about a Scotsman heading for America. I rather liked this when I read it. He purchased a passage on a great ocean liner. Being a Scotsman and not having a lot of money, he decided to save up food by stocking up on crackers and cheese and fruit before he left. And then the ship sailed and he began to eat his skimpy meals. He tried to eke them out day after day. Cheese became moldy, the crackers got stale, the fruit spoiled. And finally, there was nothing left to eat. So knowing that the ship was going to dock tomorrow, he decided he'd go down to the restaurant and have a meal with the amount of money he had left. Well, you can imagine his surprise when he walked into the restaurant and found that he could have ate the whole cruise for nothing because it was in the price of his ticket. That is like us, isn't it? God has spread a banquet of the bread of life. It's ours for the asking. We need only repeat very simple words. Give us today our daily bread. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the bread of life. We confess, Lord, our hesitation often to depend upon you when crises come, when needs come to our attention. Forgive us, Lord, our sin. Holy Spirit, heal us of that disease to be self-reliant. And help us, Lord, to know that if we are fully provided for, when we pray this prayer, we have a responsibility within the world to share. We may not do it enough, Lord, but to do it a little is a start if it makes difference to one other person's life. Help us, Lord, each day to trust you for all that you are and all that you will be and all that we need. We pray this in your name. Amen.